today, tomorrow, this year,
next year,
decades,
decades
upon decades.
Amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at understanding the gospel. This is section 6 of 35. Hallelujah.
So just a quick, I just want to do some quick fixes to some things I've said within the past week. But I'll know that on Saturday,
I will begin to get into some other very vital details.
Or maybe there's some. Let me give you guys some, because
those in Rima will be around all Tuesday night tomorrow. Amen.
Matthew 1:1. Just want to put some
quick things into some things. Some, just look at some things, just to bridge some gaps. Matthew 1:1. So we said,
when they wrote, when scriptures are written, first of all, I told you, the something that has not done well to us in our Bible interpretation is the segmenting of our Bibles into two. Okay. Is the segmenting of our Bible into two compartments.
So you have New and Old Testament.
If not, see, the apostles didn't call the 39 books Old Testament. I told you that. They never called it Old Testament.
So to call it Old Testament is an interpretation. An interpretation that is actually not from God's strength.
Because God doesn't want you to read your Bible in two compartments.
Hallelujah. Rather, the 39 books is used, is called scriptures. It's called scriptures.
2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Over 16 says, you want the Holy Scriptures. Amen. The Holy Scriptures. I mean the Holy Scriptures.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It is all scriptures, part of our faith. This is what grammar, of course. It is
it's given by the inspiration of God. So it's called scriptures.
In John chapter 5 verse 39 says, you search the scriptures. You see? And it's referring to the 39 books. Amen. In Luke 24, verse 27, it says, begin at Moses and all the prophets. So it's also called Moses and the prophets. Okay, following me. There is no place where it's called Old Testament. Old Testament is not that verbiage. Used to call the 39 books is not God. Hallelujah. God doesn't want to read more than two compartments. And
he doesn't say the Old Testament is gone. No. And many times when people get that from some Hebrews. Writer of Hebrews, also Jeremiah, because writer of Hebrews is interpreted Jeremiah, so he now said that which is old.
Oh, that is Old Testament, no.
He was referring to people.
Amen. Okay, follow me. Jeremiah 33.
Let's get there. Jeremiah 33. Let's see what he calls old. You start from Jeremiah. So let's go to Jeremiah. Okay. Don't you be afraid to be the Lord worship in the light. Are you there? Verse 31 said, behold, the day is coming, said the Lord. Oh, sorry, 31, sorry. Behold, the day is coming, said the Lord. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He said, not according to the covenant. Now, this is what the writer of Hebrews, we'll get to Hebrews shortly, will call old, that which is old. Now, he said, not according to the law which I made with their fathers. In the day I took them by hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them. You see that?
So he calls it my covenant. So what did they break? His covenant. So what he referred to as old was referring to our people and their conduct, unbelief. So if what he referred to as old there,
which the writer of Hebrews, let's get to Hebrews quickly. That's how the writers of Hebrews, how the writer of Hebrews will call it, Hebrews 8, that you get it. That's where they found the word old. The Hebrews 8. I mean 8. That is 8. It says, okay, I'll start with verse 6. He said, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by which he also is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. Then I say, for if the first covenant had been faultless.
Now, listen to what he called first covenant. Say, if it had been faultless.
Watch it. It says, these have been faultless, there should no place have been sought for a second. Now, watch what he goes. He says, for finding fault with them, Was it finding fault of the covenant?
Was it finding fault of the covenant or with them? So the fault is with the people, not God's word, not God's covenant. How are you saying that?
Amen. Amen. So finding fault with them, what did he do? He said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. So what is he referring to as that father I have fought with them?
This is, I hope you are following me. The fault is with them, not with God's covenant. Hope you are following me. So what is referring to? What do we see that?
So find where is the fault with people. So that means what he will call all covenant to be people with their response to God's covenant.
The same way to the new covenant is referring to was referring to people also, and their own response, which is speaking. Hope you are following that. Hope you are following that.
Okay. So he said, finding fault with them. Look at verses 10. For this is the covenant I make with the house of Judah. I mean the house of Israel, of Judah, that I put my laws in their mind, write it in their heart. Exactly what? If you read this and read it together with,
open your Bible to the church. He said, he's saying the same thing. Are you prepared? Hallelujah. What Moses said to Israel, to the generation that was not the generation that came out of Israel, for Israel. Listen to that. He was saying to a generation that didn't come up from me. Amen. Amen.
Okay, follow me. Say the word. He said the word I speak. He said is nigh thee in thy heart and in thy mouth that thou mayest do. Do you see that? So it's in your heart. So he's talking about. And remember, I told you, Deuteronomy is the word from two words. Deuteronomous. Nomos.
Nomos is used for law or covenant, and Deuteronomy is used for second and all called renew. I said that to us, right? Renewed covenant, renewed law.
Did you see that? So the first law,
he found fault with them, not with the law. Not with his covenant.
It's the same covenant I told you, right?
It's the same covenant. Hallelujah.
Let's see what he found fault with. Look at verse 11. He said, I teach you, okay, verse 12. I will basically tell you their righteousness and their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. In that he said a new covenant, he made the first oath stop.
What did he make oath? Is this his words or people or their response? People and their response. That is called oath. Not what he said. Because what he said to them was the same thing I said to us. He said to us when I was in Jacob. So what God does is to renew his covenant. So when he has new, you have to go back to their world to find out what does new mean.
So I told us,
I said the origin of word will be within the 39 books. Hallelujah. The origin of word will be within the 39 books. Because where they wrote from is from the 39 books. So when you find new, you have to go back again. What is new in their world? So I told us that new is the shorthand. So you go back to look at new within the 39 books, you discover that the word new is from that word Kadash. Right? It has a word Kadash to renew. To renew, to repair, to restate. So what God is doing is restating his covenant instead of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said to the children of Israel, that was what they brought. Now, he's now saying it to their children. Hallelujah. So, finding fault with them is that number. Is that what you have on the list? That is number. So, there's going to be a new covenant, renewed covenant. So therefore, they go back again to Jordan. You see that? They go back again to Jordan to cross the sea like they did the Red Sea. So the crossing of the Red Sea will be crossing it in unbelief. You see that? Amen. Now they are crossing it again. And Moses will say, a prophet like unto me. You see that? A prophet like unto me with your Lord raised up. I said the rain of me to raise from the dead. So who goes in? Joshua comes. You see that? As Joshua goes through with the children of Israel, through the Jordan for how many days? 3 days. And he comes out to show how back from the dead. So Joshua becomes a model for the Christus. Oh, that's a model, a shadow of the Christus. Sorry. You know that? Becomes a shadow. Amen.
So that will be new covenant.
That will be new covenant. So when we do find new covenant, New Testament or Old Testament, back to our reference point, Old Testament books. Did you see that? What we call Old Testament book for reference.
Or call the top 9 books.
Okay, so wait a minute. So when you have New Testament in Deuteronomy, when you have Old Testament Numbers, did you see that? Or maybe? Okay, so wait a minute. So it's a book. It's not books. So someone who wants to read the Bible in compactness, no.
Hallelujah. Therefore, we said, in Matthew 1:1, when the writers of the synoptics were to write,
they were writing for you to go back and reread.
Where they were writing for? So they wrote in such a way that
they are telling you, I'm reading from this book. So they are referencing those books for you to go back to read them.
Hallelujah. Hold on a minute.
To go back to read. The same thing to the epistles.
We're going to get back to the epistles topic. So in Matthew 1:1, Matthew opens up and says, the book of the generations. Amen. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
So he read the book of the generations. That is the word Genesis. Amen. Genesis. So that means the book, that is the... So he takes your mind back to the Genesis. He's telling you what he's writing about
will come from the Genesis.
Hallelujah. So we mentioned the son of Abraham, son of David, the son of Abraham. And I said, when you find the word son of David, son of Abraham,
is referring to God's offspring. Right? God's offspring that will come through the lineage of men. We'll see that a bit. God's offspring that will come through the lineage of men.
Is there a writer? God's offspring. So in Mark opens up and says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus. This is what Archaeomai. Mark 1:1. The beginning. He used the word Archaeomai of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when you use the word Archae, you're supposed to go back again to Genesis. What does that mean? You go back to Genesis. The book of the Archae. That means the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now calls him the Son of God. Did you see that? So while Matthew used Son of Abraham, Son of David, Mark says the Son of God. Are they writing the same thing? So when they say Son, I told you should do it, it's referring to the seed in Genesis. We're going to get to see that shortly again. Referring to the seed. And it will be the seed of God that will come through the lineage of man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So let's go for that one more. Okay, following me. Okay. You go also to John. John says something very, very important. Remember I told you they were writing about the incarnation of Jesus.
Okay. I thought you guys are thinking the fun is too much. Are you guys not children of Israel?
Where are we?
Okay, you understand that?
Let's continue. Okay, so, John. So, and I said that they were writing about
the incarnation of Jesus. So what were they writing about the incarnation? They were writing, like I said to you, for you to see that in the incarnation, Jesus is both God and man. Jesus was not 50% God and 100% man, Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. But in functionality, I said he functioned as a man 100%. Right? In functionality, he functioned as a man. And then we read from Philippians, where we said he, what he did was to strip himself in the incarnation, he stripped himself of his God nature. That is called he was naked in man. Well, 100%
so.
You see that? Amen.
So, John 1. Also, something you must find out, you must see at the inception of John is to find out what was the background. I was thinking about should maybe I'll give us
have a teaching in the course of this year on introduction to the synopsis. Something around that. So now we'll have the background to what we're writing about.
But I've been able to do a bit of justice to them in this teaching.
And in the teachings that will come out afterwards.
Amen.
But you need to have that intro.
And then we'll look at Colossae this year. Colossians. I pray I look at it. So I don't promise again and don't do it. Okay. So where were we? So I said, John. John used the word, say, in the beginning, Alchemy was the word.
Now, he used that word, logos or logon. But, like I said to you, at the point of interpretation several times, what might lose its meaning. I said that to us on the pillar, and I'm very serious about it. What might lose its meaning? At the point of interpretation. Amen? Amen? So when you go back to the 39 books, you'll find that the word logos is from another word called dabar. That is the origin of the word, logos. Daba. Daba is used for words, right? Words. And it is used for the reason for an action. The reason for an action, we said that. Now we said also, daba is used for the visible reality of God within the 39 books. The physical reality of God. God was visible within the 39 books. And he restored the word of the Lord. Yeah? The word of the Lord came to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15 verse 1 and verse 2. The word of the Lord came to Abraham saying, the word of the Lord. So it is a personality, God the word of the Lord, that came to Abraham. So John said, that word was the God and the word was God. Then all things were created by him, and without him was anything made that is made. Then he made the light and the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness compared itself. Then the worship verse was that, that word, that Jabbar, became a man. So therefore we said, the difference between the Old and New Testament is not Jesus. Did you say that? Always people, it's not Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was in the Old and New Testament. But it's not called Jesus in the Old Testament, though. It's called the Word of the Lord. But that doesn't mean that was in the Testament book. It doesn't mean he was a man. No, he wasn't a man. But the visible reality of God. Hallelujah. So therefore, the first time God became a man was within the four Gospels. That's the first time. But was he within the Testament book? He was. Hallelujah. So when you go to John 5, verse 39, it says, you start the scripture and then see if you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. Testify of me, is this talking about testify of me pointing to me in the future or pointing to me as a reality within the Old Testament? As a reality within the Old Testament. Hope you're with me. Hope you're with me. As a reality within the Testament books. Testify of me. As a reality. So you find that reality within the Testament books. Hallelujah. And John said that word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. So making you see that they are writing about Jesus from the 39 books, both as a man and as God, though he functioned as a man 100%. Do you see that? Therefore, ask ourselves the question. When he now said no man has seen God at any time, what was he talking about? He said no man has seen God at any time as a man. Do you see that? That is the context of it. No man has seen God at any time as a man. But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. So God, Jesus declared God as a man in the four persons. Hallelujah. He has explained God as a man. That said, we began looking at words, right? We said words. Words. Now we said, before we look at that, we said the writers of the synoptic and the epistles. Now, again, let me take back what I said in church. Let's look at what I said in church on Sunday. I said, why were the epistles written? I said, one, the epistles were not written. Listen, when the apostles were there with them. You see that? The epistles were not written when the apostles were there with them. They were written when they were away. So when they were with them, would they need to write an epistle? No. They would rather just teach the scriptures. You see that? So the epistles were written to do what? Solve issues, answer questions. Right? 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 And to check on them. Amen. To solve issues, answer questions, to check on them. Right? To remind them. Right? But when they were with them, would they write an epistle? No. One of the epistles of Paul was written when Paul was in incarceration. You see that? In fact, the book of Colossians, Philippians, Philemon were written from incarceration. And it was delivered by, what the name of this guy? Onesimus. It was delivered by Onesimus. Amen? 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 So you have to see it that way. So, therefore, we can say the epistles are explanation of scriptures when the apostles were away. Did you see that? When they were away? So, Listen. Amen? So what does that show you? I told you that Paul never intended, in Paul's intention, never intended that his writing will be part of scriptures today. What we know that? We're writing to the church. Right? And address issues concerning them in their world. So it's more about application.
I can't even say it's a lie because I don't have that temerity.
I don't have that. But that's the truth. Was applying it to them.
Right? Listen. But when the 39 books were written, they were written when the writers were weak. Do you see that? They were written to teach about the oracles of God.
What we are seeing is different. Therefore, the epistles cannot stand on their own. So they are salvation, but they don't have the capacity to stand on. I said this to us 2 years ago and I'm repeating again. The epistles do not have the capacity to stand on their own. The epistles can stand on its own when it's read together with the 39 books, because it will always reference the 39 books. The 39 books will always take it to the epistles, but the 39 books can explain itself on its own. Amen. Amen. Now I told us that this teaching will lead us into CRC.
And then we'll see how the apostles, how the disciples of Jesus got to that conclusion to say, this is the Christos. You are the Christ.
We'll get it.
Amen. You see how they had that conclusion. Amen? And you see how they had that conclusion by men reading the 39 books as we are doing.
Hallelujah. So I'm only setting for us the tone for CRC. That's what I'm speaking.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see something else. So we said in writing, you write in the epistles and the synoptic, they will have to employ the use of shorthand. I say shorthand means you have to, they will use a word or a sentence or a phrase or a clause that will make you go back and read the whole full narrative. So the whole full narrative, a storyline will be encapsulated into a sentence, a word or a clause, right? Or a phrase. So when you hear that phrase, you have to go back and reread. For example, the use of the word Son of God. Right? Son of God. Seed. When you hear the Son of God, the man who goes first to the seed. Right? Or yes, seed. Let's deal with seed instead, rather than using Son of God, because that's brother. And then let's say with seed. When you hear the word seed. When you hear the word seed, you have to go back again and read. The seed will be the seed in Genesis 1. Amen? Genesis 1. Amen. The seed, Genesis 1. And we said that seed will be God. In fact, by reading Genesis 1 effectively, you will see that the seed is God. We're even going to read other seed.
It's God from Genesis 1. From Genesis 1:1, he said that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And the earth was full of the deep.
And the Spirit of the Lord moved over the surface of the water. And God said, now, I showed you something, I said there is dark waters, right? We saw dark waters and the Spirit of God moving upon the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light.
God said what? Let there be light. Now I thought that one is the word higher or. It means I am light. So God said he is that light. Amen. God said he is the light. He is the light. Genesis chapter 17, where we read, God said, I am the Lord. I am God Almighty. Genesis 17:2. I am God Almighty. So God is saying, now he spoke to Abraham about the land. We're going to deal with the land tonight. He spoke to Abraham about the land. Watch it. A land. And he said to Abraham, I am the Shaddai. Shaddai is used for that. I showed us that word. The root of that word, it means a desert land, a wild land. So God is saying, I am the wild land. What is it? He says to Abraham about the land of promise, right? And he says, I am the land. So he is the land, he is the light, and he spoke again about the seed, he is the seed. We're going to see that. He is the seed. So he is the seed in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:11. He's that light in Genesis 1:3. He's that seed in Genesis 1:11. That has light in itself. So that is why when John writes that, said in him is no light. But you have light in the seed. You see that? He is the light. What am I following me? So John said he is that light. So where is the life in the faith?
Hallelujah!
And that life is the light of men. It's the light of Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. He is the all, the force of men.
Hope you are with me here.
Amen? Amen? So what John has done is to unite Genesis 1 through Genesis 1:11 to make you see he is God, writing about what he would do in redemption.
Hallelujah.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. He's God writing about what he would do in redemption. He is the light, he is the seed, he is the land. So God becomes, listen here, God becomes what he said to men about. He becomes. So he becomes that seed, he becomes that light, he becomes that land. Amen. We're going to see that is the essence of the name, I am. So we began dealing with another fact that you have to look again is the word name, Shem in the Hebrew, right? Shem, name. Now then, I want to use tonight to actually put some things that I said in the past few teachings together that you will see and then we'll move further from there and make sure that you get it well. So use the word name, Shem. Now then the word name is used for a function. Right? It's for a function. You have another word, para, to call. When you hear to call, para means to give function to. To give function to. In Genesis 1:4, verse 5, and God called the light day. God called, para. He called the light day. Amen? Amen? He called the light day. Meaning the light will function as day. Watch it. And the darkness he called night. So that becomes functionality. So what is happening here is God giving functionality. He said, and he separated the light from the darkness. We saw that. Right? That is in verse 4. He separated light from darkness and called the light day. So to separate bada for sanctification, to differentiate, to sanctify.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So he said he called the light day. He called it. Now you find that also in Genesis 2. You find Adam. Now Adam being an archetype of man. But let's see Adam first. Chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verses 20. He said, verses 19. And out of the ground the Lord called and formed every beast of the field and every fowl there and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, what he would quara them. Quara. What function he would give to them. He would give to them. So he called any beast, so he said, and he named them. So to name is to give functionality. So when you now get to chapter 3 and you find the serpent being subtle, that is the function. Serpent, subtility. So what Adam is doing is not biology class or zoology class. What he is doing is giving functionality to animals. So that is the name we call mosquito. No, he is giving functionality. So that is why men and animals, listen, animals in scripture were used to describe men, men's function. Listen, that serpent, subtility, to describe men's function. A lion. Was it that? And Adam used to describe men. Why? Because of functionality. So to call is to give function. Names. Now we spoke about Enoch having a son named Methuselah. Methuselah means when he dies it will happen. Was it that? And Methuselah's grandson is now Noah. Methuselah's son by the name Lamech. When he gave birth to Methuselah, and when he gave birth to Noah, he called the name Noah, he said the Lord will comfort us. You see that? So name is used to repeat a function. Man's function in God's will. Many times. So he God met Abraham. He said the name will no longer be called Abraham, but Abraham, father of many nations. That is God's name. That is God's function. Father of many nations. That is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Many nations. God's family. Genesis 28. It's not about the families of God. And Jacob will call it Bethel. This is not Bethel, the family of God. God is giving a family in all the earth. And it's called Abraham by his function. This is not? Amen? Amen? He called Abraham father of many nations. Meaning, he tells you folks that it's not just for the nation of Israel, but for the whole world. Nations. Remember following that? Nations. You have seen God's purpose in all the earth in names. Hallelujah. Adam called his wife Eve. Eve means mother of all that is living. You hear that? Function. How about following me? Function, not just naming.
You know, today, when it comes to giving names, it's no longer in our culture, right? But God will have to, I told you, God will have to borrow man's culture in their world.
It's not before they're endorsing their culture, but God using this culture, using man's culture to do what? To pass across his will in all the earth.
Hallelujah. Can I get an hallelujah?
Amen.
Amen. So let's go further. So we'll find that. We find Isaac. Isaac to depict what God did to Sarah later. Now we now say we now had someone else that
somehow Jacob. Jacob is a what? He means
a supplanter.
But when he had an encounter with God, now supplanter, we can call it darkness. Right? When he had an encounter with God, his name was changed. Light in darkness. His name is not Israel. Israel means a man that one that has power with God. That prevails with God. Isn't that? Hallelujah. You find that. And Moses wrote it for him to see. What did he want to see?
Therefore, listen. Listen. Then we'll answer that question. Why? Then we'll look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18. Just a quick one. A quick recap. Deuteronomy 18. Verses 18, say, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me, and put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded him. Say, I will raise a prophet like unto me.
This is Moses speaking. I will raise. Now, he used that word to raise.
Come.
I skipped something right there, my brother. I just
said. Amen. To raise.
Now, so that word to raise there is a word used for the resurrection. Right?
The resurrection.
God said he will raise. But who was that person that was the symbol? We said we found Joshua. Let's say we found Joshua.
Joshua is on the word Yahweh Yasha or Yahoshua. Meaning Yahweh will save. Yahweh Yasha. Yeah, that's the name. Yahweh Yasha. Yahweh will save. Yahweh will deliver. Hallelujah. You will find it in the man. Now, why was Joshua named Joshua?
Joshua was named Joshua because at that point, when he was born, the children of Israel needed deliverance. Hallelujah. So the parents, knowing God's will name him Joshua. Yahweh will see.
Amen. Amen. So, like we said, names were given in their word to depict what God would do in line with God's plan purpose for the earth. Hallelujah. So Moses spoke and said, this is what God will do. He will raise up a prophet like me, and then he chose Joshua.
You see that? He chose Joshua. It's for a reason.
Hallelujah.
It's for a reason.
He chose Joshua. Glory to God. So Joshua will bear God's name in the redemption. Stop there and go back to Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Amen. Something I skipped that I wanted to show you is
David, but I guess I will say that on Sunday.
For us, maybe when I teach, I just skipped it, but I'll get back to that on Sunday. Map it in my notes. So, Exodus chapter 3. Watch this. Now, Moses had a conversation with God. And in verses 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and said to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name?
Is that they don't know what the name of God is? Because they know him as the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? Because they know him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They know he's the God of promise.
Watch this. Stop and look at verses 15. It says, and moreover, these verses, does it go to 15? It says, and moreover, unto Moses thou shalt say, unto Moses thou shalt say to the children of Israel, the Lord of your fathers. You see that? So they know God as the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Our God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is referring to God of his promise. God of his word.
You see that? Amen.
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 So listen. So
listen. When the Pharisees accused Jesus, and Jesus says,
about resurrection,
no, the scribe. I mean the scribe. When they accused him, the Sadducees, sorry, and asked him about the resurrection, a man that married his wife, I mean his brother's wife, and all of them died in the resurrection of whose wife shall she be? Jesus now responded and said to them, don't you know? I mean, you hear, not knowing the scripture of the power of God, that in the
resurrection they are neither given to marriage, right? But they are like the sons of God. Have you not heard? Have you not read? When he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he was using to talk about resurrection. What do you think was talking about? I said, God is the God of the people. What do you think was referring to?
He's talking about his promise. Well, yeah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the very first sons, and his promises are alive.
You see that? How
many
people are you?
Glory
to God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob might have died, but that is, he was a yet. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob referring to God of his covenant. God in his faithfulness. God of his promise.
How many people are you?
How many people are you?
Glory to God.
So first, let's get back to what we're looking at. So they know God as the God of their fathers. Already. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they know that. They know the story.
Amen.
Amen. Because they had it in oral tradition. Oral lost on that.
But God, the Moses asked, what if they ask me, what is your name?
Look at it. He says, what is, I mean, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What do you think they will be asking? Not to tell us, his name is God of Abraham. I know. They are asking, what will he do? What is his function?
Is that?
What is his function?
Amen? What is his function?
So, his name, the word name, there is just for his function.
What is all that he said? I am that I am.
I am that I am. I will be what I will be.
So when he told I am that I am,
he said it to pull their mind on, this is what I will do. I am coming to redeem you. So you know it's God in his redemption. I am that I am. Amen. God in his faithfulness. I will be what I will be.
Hallelujah. I will be everything I spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that I will be. The land, the sea, the deliverer. Hallelujah.
I will be. I am.
Hallelujah.
Hope you're following
me.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So hear what I am. That I am. Then what was he said? He said, and thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. You see that? I am has sent you. I will be has sent you.
When you put that word and throw it into the when you pick that word and throw it into your search, the first place you have it is Genesis 1 verses 3. And God said, let there be light. I am light. You see that? That means what will God be to them? Light out of darkness. Who are following me? This is deliverance, salvation.
I will be. Hallelujah. Hope you are still with me. Hope you are still with me. Let's proceed further a bit. I will be. Glory to God. Let's begin to get into some other details on what I've been talking, I'll be talking to you about in the coming days. Luke 24. Luke 24. Alright. Verses 27. Beginning at Moses, on top of verse 26, it says, ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into his glory. Watch this.
I need you to look here now. It's very easy to understand. Because in seeing this, you will see what actually changed the course of Paul's life.
Amen.
Just this.
Amen.
And what changed this one? Because Paul was a Jew.
In fact, on their way to Emmaus, listen here, who were on, Jesus met two of his disciples, they were Jews, on their way to Emmaus. Right? Now, when Jesus had that conversation with them, what was the response? In verse 32, he said, "Didn't thou have born within us?" What is it? "Didn't thou have born within us?" When he opened to us, he used the word download, Jesus, to open to us the scriptures. Amen? And open to them the scriptures. "Didn't thou have born within us?" So he said, "What to open them?" Hallelujah. Now, in verse 44 and 45, he says, and verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures for you. Did you see that? So in two instances there, their eyes were opened. Did you see that? Downloading. The same thing too that happened to Paul. Now watch it. Now this is to a Jewish nation. And what Jesus needed to do was to explain the upload of Christ. Now we're going to deal with all this, don't see us. Upload of Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. So the things concerning himself is counted as the things concerning his name. You see that? His name, himself, his name, his function. You see that? I told us why Jesus bear the name Jesus. I told us why. And his name shall be called Jesus. I once asked
someone here that said he bear the name Jesus because the angel said his name with Jesus. No?
He bore the name Jesus because Jesus, that was Yehoshua, is an explanation in scripture. You see that? It's an explanation in scripture. It's not that it's an explanation for just this related word name Jesus. You have to go back to it from Genesis down to Malachi. It is an explanation. Okay, anyway. It's not just a naming word. No! Because in their world, in Jesus' time, they were all about the answer Jesus. Don't you know? They were all about the answer Jesus. The same Jesus that came for where they are eating God. Yes, there's a Jesus that is there.
One time.
Asna,
I don't want to mention it. It's not a holy name. Asna versus those that work in the spirit and now have Muhammad inside. You see how confused you can be. So that's it. It's now, and the match was around on the 24th
one time. I think it was last year or there. It was what they played about. Asna versus Liverpool. Come on now, say, who will win?
Jesus or Muhammad?
How about that was me? Yeah, I want to play. Salah 1 or Salah 2. I don't understand that.
Amen.
But it was a non-name in their world. Amen. Jesus' word. But what do you know answering Jesus? Yes. Don't you know? Yes. Even after Jesus lived, in the days of the apostles, there was someone called by Jesus. Amen. How about Jesus? So, something that should give you a bit of thinking was when that guy, the seven sons of Sceva, saw Paul casting out demons in the name of Jesus, and they went and said in the name of Jesus, that Paul, preaching, come out. And the demons say, Jesus, we know. Who are you? Say, Jesus, we know. Who are you? So that should give you a sense that the power in the name is not in pronunciation. I'm getting into authority. I don't get into this.
I said I want to call on some things before I get to authority. But I said,
the power in the name is not in pronunciation of the name. Because the name is functional. It's a dysfunctionality. What the enemy? The name is the function, not in pronunciation. So that is why people are saying, no, it's not called Jesus, it's called Isaac. Don't forget, it's called Yehoshua. It's not Yehoshua, it's called Yeshua. You're not saying nonsense. It's Yeshua. Anything you want to say. But the body in the name is not in pronunciation. But in the function. When he has named Jesus, not to read through the scriptures. So no, he has named Jesus, not to only Joshua. No. It's from Genesis. Because it's a function. Hallelujah. Okay, so Jesus now said, the things concerning himself. Is that would that be his name? Yes, his name. So Jesus will teach concerning his name and their hearts burn within them.
Amen. So that means what these guys saw on their way to Emmaus would be the same thing Paul saw that changed the course of his life.
Hallelujah. So that means after Apostles chapter 9, when Paul was on his way to Damascus,
it was now.
Remember, who wrote it? Luke wrote it in Luke, and he's writing it in Acts. What is he doing? He's doing it. He's writing those two senior notes deliberately for you to see that Paul was on his own way to Emmaus. And just like the guys on their way to Emmaus and encountered Jesus, Paul too had to encounter Jesus on his way to Damascus. Okay, follow you. Hallelujah. He wants for you to see it. And just like them, they had bone within them. They had fire, they had light. Paul had light, he saw light. He wrote for you to see those similarities. Hallelujah. To make you know that what happened to Paul on that way was conversion. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Following me. Glory to God. Let's see a few other things. Okay, we are still there. Not all that things now. So, it says, the things concerning them, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. So, himself is name, right?
So, where did he explain it from? He explained his name from scripture. Hallelujah.
Amen. 45. It says, verse 46. 45. I'm opening the understanding that they may understand the scripture. Go to 44. And he said to them, these are the words I said to our children, our ultimate fulfillment of the law of Moses and the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. Would that include his name too? Would that include his name? Yes. Concerning him and his name. And he opened the understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And tossed to them, and tossed to the Lord, and to them, and thought, and the better thought, and the vision of his name pushed in his name. Stop.
He said, repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name. Is it the measure of his name or teaching in his name? Or teaching concerning his name? Oh, so you got teaching concerning his name. Hallelujah. Beginning at Jerusalem.
Hallelujah. We are witness of this thing. Hallelujah. Look at Mark. Mark 16. The reason why I usually call for other meetings,
if we are just speaking to God, 45 1 hour. You will not
pay me.
We will catch up.
We
will come
out. I won't be around for most of the time in April. So we have to catch up on time. Amen. Amen. Verse 15. Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils in my name. Watch it. In my name.
He's not talking about the mention of the name. In my name is functionality, right? And where is the background of it? The personality. So that means in my name.
So in my name would be functionality that ought to be explained throughout the scriptures. Amen. They asked Peter concerning the healing at the gate called Bethesda. He said the name of Jesus and faith in him.
Hallelujah.
Faith in him. The name of Jesus and faith in him to me,
you have to go back and read it.
Amen.
You read it.
It's not in pronunciation or how, in which language. Amen. It's faith understanding the functionality. I told you last week on Sunday, I said to Lord, when he said, you shall not call the name of the Lord in vain. You're not referring to mentioning the name in vain. It's talking about using the name without functionality. Right? Right? Would that mean using the name of Jesus without faith?
Yes. You shouldn't call his name without faith. Hallelujah. Who are following me? Who are following me?
So we have to go back again and reread. And see. And look at it again. Glory to God. Say my name, you cast out there. Trying to check if my time will permit me now. Glory to God. I guess this is the shortest time we'll use for this teaching for 9 minutes. Very short. Glory to God. So let's get back to Azar. Let's see a few things about his name. Azar. Glory to God. Hey? to get us something down and to read something to us. Can you read something to us? Okay. All right, for the tree. Oh, okay. Please, someone should remind me. I'm supposed to show you guys something in Exodus 3. Again, I skipped Exodus 3 and 2 Samuel. Please remind me. I don't miss it sometimes. Let's do something about that. I mean, Exodus 6. 6. Exodus 6. Ah, will I put these two together now? Okay, don't worry. I'll try. Isaiah 43. Now, some of this is 4. Right? Verse 4. It says, thou art precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable. In verses 1, he called them, they are called by his, by, and you call them by thy name. So he's talking about salvation here. Says, thou, since thou art precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I've loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. You know, I've read this in the most craziest way you can ever think. The men will die for me to live. How about that? Anyway, it is, fear not, I will be. I'll bring thy seed from the east. Watch it, thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. Now, he's talking about redemption now. That I will say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. He's talking about God gathering his people. That will be salvation from all the corners of the earth. Hallelujah, salvation. Amen. Amen. Now don't think he's talking about Israel that has scattered. Israel as a nation scattered. No. He's talking about God is gathering his people. That's God building his family. That's God building his family. Now look at what he says about that family. He says, I will say to the north, okay, verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name. Watch it. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. He says, everyone that is called by my name. You see that? By what he will do in salvation. Did you see that? Hallelujah. 44. I'm driving on something. 44 verse 5. It says, no. I guess 44, 45. Okay, look at 47. Are you there? 47 verses 3 to 4. Verses 4. It says, for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. Watch it. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. What is his name? The Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. The Lord of hosts is his name. Now, watch it. Put your hands there. Let's get back to Matthew. The Lord of hosts is his name. Get back to Matthew. I'm being careful. I want to quickly cement this when we talk about the name as an authority. Where do we go? About to Matthew. So, Matthew 28. Look at verses 17. Verses 17 to 18 and 19. Or verses 19. It says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Now, I take a stand with my pastor that word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost doesn't have any correlation in any other part of Scripture. So, therefore,
I believe if I was to write this, I would rather put in the name of, in my name or in the name of the Lord, because other scriptures, other synoptic writer like Matthew, I mean like Mark and Luke, will use the name, his name, in my name.
Is that in my name?
So we're here in his name.
In his name. Now, how would you get messaged in his name? So will you go and make and say, be saved in his name? You preach the gospel. Now, preaching the gospel and seeing the function of that name to save a man will not make you believe upon that name and you're saved. Isn't that? So that name, his name, listen, his name talks to scriptures. Will refer to function. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Will refer to his function. I love what the psalmist says. The name of the Lord
is a strong tower. Do you see that? That's function. They're telling you the function of his name is a strong tower. What the righteous run into. So his name is deliverance. His name is salvation. Hallelujah. Yes. What is your function? What is God's function? So the power in that name, as we get to see on Sunday.
Amen. The power in that name.
I tell you what I'm saying. The power in that name will not refer to how the name is pronounced.
But I told us that when you use the word I am Jehovah, Jehovah is not actually, if you read scholars, but his name is Yahweh, Yahushua, Yahweh. They will, I mean, his name is Yahweh. They will say Yahuwah.
The Hebrew, you Jews call us. Because the name is actually YHWH.
And there's a reason why it's YHWH. It has no vowels. It's not written with vowels. Because it was not written for you to be pronounced. It's been pronounced YHWH. Put just to the word Yahweh.
It's not written for pronunciation. It's his function. When is it YHWH is his function? Hallelujah. You will see the functionality in that name.
To see.
To deliver. Hallelujah. Amen. So we now begin to see the authority in that name where they begin to translate from land to kingdom. Now, we now find our authority. Amen. Just in Revelation 1 talk about the kingdom of David and it will be referring to the authority of David. That will be his name. So the name also be used for us. Hallelujah. When it's in the name of Jesus. They don't pronounce the name. It's all called Jesus Christ. Jesus. No. It's not even the same. It's not even. This is why it didn't happen. Someone wants to. One of them bombarded with Yahusha. I tried to see Jesus was not okay. When I go say Yahushua, everything just scattered. I think it's going to Revelation. It's got nothing.
The power in the name.
You don't know what's stressing me, but I know what's
stressing. In the revelation. And the revelation is the functional
to deliver to something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus,
God became a man, had to bear the name Joshua to show his function in the earth. He's called Emmanuel to show that it's going to be God in the earth. Amen. So he says, Jesus.
There are several Jesus there. So who Jesus are you referring to?
Amen.
Well, his function.
Hallelujah.
His function is his function. Hallelujah. Mary is that is the light for spirit.
I told you. I transitioned from light to kingdom and then towards the last island. Now I'm the area.
Hallelujah. We'll see all that in the coming sessions.
I hope to speed it up and we'll get to spread too. I hope to be done. Now you can have the teaching.
We'll get to see us.
Amen. Have the teaching. Listen to it again as you prepare for prayer. So
then you see the connecting dots with what I did see that I wanted to see.
Yes. Learn something? You learn something? Hallelujah. So his name is a function. And it could be taught through our scriptures. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go now.